Okay, we just declare the meeting open. 10:02. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and work. Council meetings are public meetings. The council chambers is not a parliament and parliamentary privilege does not apply. Elected members and staff risk being held personally liable if their comments are defamatory or breach any duty of confidentiality. Statements made during council meetings are solely those of the person making them. Nothing expressed at a council meeting can be attributed to the Shire unless it is adopted by a resolution of council. The confirmed minutes of a council meeting are the official record of that meeting. Verbatim minutes are not required. Please make sure mobile phones are turned off or on silent for the duration of the meeting. This meeting will be audio recorded and made available for public access on the Shire website. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and work. Now, we are all present, apart from apologies from Councillor Wright.
Through the Chair, we also have an apology from Nikki Jones.
Apologies from Nikki Jones, thank you. We have approved leave of absence listed for the August meeting from Councillors King and O'Connell. Deputations, petitions and presentations, there are nil. Public question time, we have nobody. No declarations of interest. So 6.1, corporate services, 6.11, adoption of the 2025-26 annual budget. Now there's a recommendation there, we have an alternative motion that our CEO can read to us where the changes have been proposed.
Through the Chief, we can maybe just explain why we've gotten to that, what the change is, and then I can read through what we've done in ours.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you want to go into committee to discuss that.
Would anyone like to move into committee? Councillor O'Connell, seconded Councillor Caldwell. All those in favour? Carried. Unanimous. Yes. All right. So... proposal is that the rates be increased by 1% to 7% and that 1% be allocated to the building maintenance reserve and the for the sport and evac centre. And this is about prudent financial management for the longer term. So we need to make sure that we don't focus on reducing rates today at the expense of tomorrow. So the point is that we need to put money aside for that project and we need to be managing financially in a way. Financial management by the council, or just financial decisions by the council, are the second most important decision that we make, and the most important being that we give our CEO all the tools he needs to manage our organisation efficiently and effectively, and financial resources are a very important part of that. So we also don't want to set up our community for a nasty surprise down the track where we have not provided sufficient funds in the near term, and in the long term it costs. So would anyone like to ask or comment on the proposal? Councillor Ingalls.
Just on, unless my maths are wrong,
and I've done it quite a few times, but we're actually at a 6.54% rate rise now on the figures that I've just done. Is that, I can't work out where the 6% comes from.
Through the Chair, I'll defer that one to Carolyn. I'm sure it's 6%.
I'm sure it is, but I just can't.
Yeah, so it's based on the valuations. So
sorry, Carolyn. Just put the red light on.
That's it.
Thank you. We zero the rate base and we use last year's gross revenue from rates raised and we increase that total figure by 6%, and then we work it backwards to a rate in the dollar. So it is based on a 6% plus the 25% differential rate for plantations, which is a new rating category.
Oh, right, so the differential rating for the plantations.
Just press your mic.
Yeah, so that will be the difference.
Sorry, the
probably.
Differential rating for the plantations would make it seem to be more than what it actually is. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ingalls. Any other questions or points? Councillor Caldwell.
Just as I understand that, will that be going into a specific building reserve for sport and that for that facility? So we'll be creating a new reserve?
Yep.
Is that right? And it would be earmarked exactly for that each year to go in 1%. So it's a sort of a long-term thing, or is it something that's going to be decided each year whether 1% goes in there?
Through the chair, so it is recommended that it goes into an existing reserve, which is the building reserve, building maintenance reserve, so which will be used to go towards the recreation centre.
So if we scroll down through that, it will identify the purpose, the reason. Thank you. Councillor Ingalls.
All these, I just see now we've got a heap of reserves now that totals up to $3.5 million. Those reserves that we've set up, and they're titled, one's titled Bridge Works Building Reserve, do those reserves have to be specifically spent on what we allocate it to right now? So, so you can't get a building one out and go and help put money into the bridge?
No,
reserves or anything like that, so you can't.
Through the chair, those go into the budget, and they've actually got a purpose as identified for each one, and we can only use that for that. We can't also just take it out the reserve. It's got to be a council decision to take any money out of reserve, so it's an item that come back to council. So even if we put this into the building reserve and we want to use it for the rec centre, even though it says that, I've still got to come back to council and say I need to take out X amount of money towards the building reserve.
Yes, okay, no worries. So there's probably there's 10 or 15 reserve accounts that we've got going now. Correct. Can't we just put it all into a general purpose account? And then you obviously still got to come back to council to be able to spend that money. But then if you have we'd probably get more interest on a $3.5 million bank account than 20 bank accounts. To earn interest and then go, right, well, okay, we need $1 million out of that to help the evac centre, rather than putting the rates up.
Save you a little bit of time so that you are aware the reserve funds are not in separate bank accounts. They are in one account. And it's just identified through our financial process that these amounts are allocated for these purposes. And that is very specific. We can't change it. To change those, we've got to advertise that we want to take money out of that reserve and put it in this reserve. And as Leonard was saying, if we want to take money out of reserve, it's a council decision. So it's as far as having a general purpose reserve goes, that I think exposes us to a lot of risk. I think that we need those special purpose reserves. I'm not even sure if it's legal, but whether or not it's legal, I think it exposes us to risk. So we need specific purpose reserves that we put money into for a reason. Councillor Caldwell.
With the final draft of the budget, what percentage of rates is planned today? If we add 1% to it, what percentage of rates would be going into these reserve accounts? Is it 10%, 8% of rates at the moment?
Through the chair, I don't think we've got that information available as yet. Once the budget gets approved, then we'll be able to work out exactly how much percentage has gone into each one. If I understand correctly, Councillor, that's the information you're after?
Yeah, so the final draft budget, is that to see what the money is. Because we talked about at the last meeting, we're going to pull some out of some reserve account, like change the numbers. So where has all, because that was all going to be budget dependent on balancing it. So where's the final draft at now in terms of what's been cut and what's been added to balance it?
Through the chair, I'm going to probably defer that one to Karen. We did do a couple of the changes. We didn't have to do all of them. I can just jump in if I'm wrong here on this one.
Can you push?
Sorry, I was just wondering. First was, like, we had the last budget meeting and we said that depending on where the surplus deficit was sitting, we were going to potentially, and we had about six things that we might take money out of accounts or changes, so changes that were earmarked potentially. And then the second question is, what in the final plan is the percentage of rates that's, or how much are we putting into reserves this year? Like in the budget, like is it 10%? Whatever, because some of those things are ones that were going to go in or out, depending if
I'll take that one.
We had to balance the budget.
Jump in if I'm missing something. So, Councillor, what it was when we presented that one to the last workshop, it was based on what we assumed the surplus was going to be at the time. When we've got the final surplus figures back, it was a bit higher than what we expected, so we didn't have to cut all those things down. Some areas we still have reduced areas, like the Caravan Park Master Plan. That's been reduced down to half. I think how much did we end up putting in there, 15 or 20? Yeah, somewhere around there. But majority-wise, as council, as we presented to council, we've managed to keep all those things in.
So all the items are in the final draft of the budget, as in the skids there, loader, all those items are still there, and what is the surplus deficit and things? Like, have we got did that come out on email, the final draft?
Yes, we did send that out as an attachment, Councillor, to all the councillors. Karen, have you got that figure in front of you on what the...
Yeah, that didn't come through on my private email, so I thought that was being presented today prior to the meeting, but no worries.
So we can have a look at that now.
Everything's in that was on the wish list.
Apart from some reductions.
Yeah, so what those... And the full... We've been able to maintain the full road crew we're talking about. Like, not now, but advertising positions to fill those positions that were on that plan.
Correct, through the chair. The positions that we've proposed have all been retained in the...
Yep.
Yes.
In the budget, so we can afford them. Yep.
So we'll be recruiting for, I think it was two or three new positions in the road crew. Yeah, as I showed councillors the work structure last week or month before, that's how we're going to be filling it. We haven't dropped any of those positions. Yes. No, I've only got a hydrogen Pacific. Sorry, Karen, if you can just put on your...
We didn't make any changes to the reserves. We didn't need to find any additional money, so we just reduced the highlighted priority items such as the CEO's just mentioned.
Carolyn, you can pull that across to you closer, saves you having to reach out and lean over and whatever. There's lots of cord. Yeah.
So through the chair, also the percentages you're referring to, Councillor, that we're busy calculating all those now, and that will be going into our rates notice as well. Well, not our rates notice as such, our rates information pamphlet that we send out. That will be advising the community that X amount of rates goes towards certain areas.
Because of the last budget, it was about 15%, so from my recollection of the numbers, so if we're talking an additional, we're talking about 16% of rates going into reserve funds each year from what I calculated the last budget meeting, is what we're talking. Not into the one account, I mean, into the multiple accounts for reserve funding, including the sand account and the park reserve. And,
so So as we stand at the moment, with what we've done, we've got a balanced budget. Are you worried about ongoing with the evacuation centre? Then we've got this very differential rating on the plantations. If we can increase that next year, will that make a, that would make up the shortfall over the next whatever?
Through the chair, can I take that one on notice?
Sure.
If I could just comment on that, we don't have a long-term financial plan at the moment. So that's a document that we've been trying to get through for a number of years, and it's something that we need our consultant to do a lot of work on. So once we have that, that will enable us to be a lot more focused on the longer term costs. But in the meantime, what we're dealing with is the same as every other local government, escalating costs and a budget base, a rate base that is likely way below, not a little, a way below where it should be. So when Donnybrook looked at this a year ago, they went, they need a 25% rate increase in 1 year just to catch up on that 1 year. And then another big one the next year. And so they ended up doing about half what they needed, because they had their long-term financial plan and it showed how far behind they were. We can go, my point is that we as a council are not here to beat the rates down as low as we can get them. We're here to find that right balance that sets the community up for longer term financial sustainability. So we want to maintain our reserves. We want to be able to deliver on our projects. And if we don't have the funds there to do that, we're setting our community up to fail. And we're much better to do smaller increases, as in, I don't mean reduce what we're doing. The figure proposed was 7% for a reason, and to cut it back is not helping our community. It's actually making it worse in the longer run. And we need to maintain that steady increase rather than setting people up for a nasty surprise in the future, because we will get our long-term financial plan and that will show, and we will not be able to balance it on purely rates. We'll have to do what everyone else does and some asset asset considerations and project considerations and rates. So you've got to look at everything and try and get it to balance for the longer run, so you've got a plan that you can work to, and that helps then with the annual budget process. So that's why we struggle every year for the last 7 years at least, I think, without a long-term financial plan. There's a lot of work goes into a budget because you haven't got that foundation to go, right, well, the next year's budget's already done, it just needs tweaking, which is what happens with when you've got your longer term financial plans. You already know where you're going and you can just tweak it, get it right so that we're happy with the balance, and you always have to tweak it. You never get it. Accuracy in a 20 or 10 year plan is very low, and then you bring it down as you add in, is it 10 or 20? It's 10 year, isn't it?
10 year.
Yeah. So each year you drop a year off and add a year on, so it's always 10 years, and that accuracy on at 10 years is the lowest, and as you get closer it's more and more accurate. So each year when you drop one off, you're updating the next year's budget and adding another year on that's speculative again, but the year you're knowing that 12 months ahead, that budget is a lot more accurate than the 10 year ahead. But you've got that period of time that you can adjust in your aspirations and your longer term bigger projects, and you can also adjust things in your rate base like we are doing now with differential rating, which will help, but it's not the answer on its own, and we may run into trouble with that. We don't know what the state's going to do with their plantation land.
So we can't say, oh, that's a given. We've got the differential rate in our pocket. We may lose it. So that's there. If we can get it, that will help our community. But in the meantime, we've got to focus on what we can actually control.
Fair enough. That's, but you're right. Let's, okay, so this year's budget, the way I've looked at it, the Works Department have got what they need, you know, to maintain the roads. We haven't cut anything out of the budget. We're probably going along okay, really. We've got $3.5 million in reserves. And seems like the poor old ratepayer has to. And if we don't have a 10-year financial plan, then maybe we should get onto it, because it's hard to, you know, that's probably one of the high priorities that probably should be getting done. So
it is.
Because now we're trying to make a decision on, we're basically going from year to year.
Yep.
But we have no figures on how it's going to look in 10 years' time. So if I had those figures there, you could, and you know, then you're out in the street and somebody comes up and goes, oh, you've raised the rates again, and you can explain to them what here it is it's in, and you can look at our 10-year plan rather than going, because I just feel like they're getting, what's the word I wouldn't say? Anyway, they against rate rises like everybody is, and if we're running it at a low rate and we're going okay, we can still increase it next year. Like, instead of going down, like we I just don't see the point. If we've got a balanced budget and we've got the things that the Shire needs to function out on the roads, which everybody sees, my opinion is I don't think we need to raise the rates to 7%.
Okay. So what we're talking about is that 1% is going into a building maintenance reserve. We've got a major project happening there. We're going to have to borrow $2 million to get it over the line. So it's very prudent to put aside a bit more money today than to find ourselves down the track having to put a lot more money aside, and then the ratepayers will really be on your case.
Through the chair, may I just add in, I know our reserves say the $3 point something million, just bearing in mind is almost $1 million of that has to come out, because that's already been committed by council towards the recreation centre.
Yes.
That was our funds to cover the NEMA grant that we got. So that money hasn't been moved yet, it's still stayed in there because we haven't actually started with the development yet.
So that Lima one, that's for the bridge work?
No, that's for the sport and
rec. The sport and rec,
yeah.
Right.
Our contribution towards that was 800 and something thousand.
Yeah, which 400,000 of that was from the Bryanton Park
thing,
wasn't it? Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's right, yeah, those reserves are all allocated.
Yes, yeah. I read all them, yes.
They're not sort of a cash pool that we can just pull on and do whatever we want with.
Yep.
Yeah,
I've read it all. I know, yep. I know what it's all for.
Yep.
I just thought the council had made a decision on a 6% rates thing, and we've budgeted it, and we've come in with a balanced budget, and financial planning for the next 10 years, so we're kind of... If we don't have the figures in front of us, it's hard to make a thing.
Look, and that is a real issue, and it's not something that has been ignored. Every year, the staff have put work into trying to get that 10-year plan up, that long-term financial plan, but it is a major item, and it requires a lot of input from a consultant who's also very stretched for time. And it's not something that's just easy to get over the line. It's something we do have to get done, and I reckon we'd be very close to having it next year, hopefully.
Yes, through the chair.
Yep. So it's not something that we've just ignored. Absolutely, it's necessary, and it's something we should have for next year's budget in helping the preparations there. But as far as this year's budget goes, yes, we've got everything lined up so that we've got all our costs covered in the budget. What we're talking about is putting that extra 1%, which is not a huge amount of money, into reserve for this major project that we've taken on. So it is far better to put that amount of money aside now than to have to put aside several times that amount of money later because we couldn't deliver on what we'd proposed.
So what sort of scenarios would you say that what could go wrong to not make us pay our loans back or whatever, like a natural disaster, a bushfire comes through and what would be the biggest thing that would make us not repay our loans back? Like, go bankrupt, mainly, what I'd say. Like,
I would say the greatest risk is poor decisions on rates. This is the biggest risk. I'm not sure what otherwise would be a risk.
Yeah, through the chair, I suppose that's the purpose of the budget, is to make sure we have got those funds allocated in the budget to pay out loans like that. Going in the future, if there's natural disasters, there's normally some sort of grant that you can go for to get that sort of stuff. It shouldn't really impact the budget to such an extent that we can't service our loans. Yes, we might have to rejig some things. We might have to drop other projects to start paying for other stuff.
Yes.
But that will be sort of hopefully on contingent that we do get other grants for things like that as well.
Yeah.
There's normally quite a lot of emergency grants out there if we get into
that situation. That's right. So we've never done a scenario on if, crikey, next year we come in with a $5 million deficit. You know, that's...
Other local governments have.
That's right, because they've gone and spent $9 million on a... and had to pay $12, $15 million on a project.
There's all sorts of reasons that they have. There's all sorts of reasons. And some of them have done it through not raising enough revenue for too long. And it's the time frame. So, you know, you go too long without raising enough revenue, you can find yourself in very big financial trouble.
Yes.
Carolyn. Thank you.
Biggest risk for our local government with such a small rate base is if grant funding dried up. That's our biggest source of income. Generally, a council's income with the rates raising is sufficient to cover wages. That's what it's pretty much based on. Anything over that is based on grants that we can receive. It wasn't that long ago, and it's within my time here, that there was very little grant funding from Commonwealth and state. We've been really, really blessed and fortunate to see an influx of grant funding to local governments, potentially through canvassing from WALGA and local governments. It's never guaranteed. So that's probably what I see as the biggest risk, the lack of future grant funding.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yes, just in the back end of that, Carolyn, so I had a conversation this morning. I'm getting all the next lot of grants in for the roads, and the regional road group funding we're getting is only really guaranteed for the next 4 years. Now they're actually changing the whole system. I'm working on the new stuff they're bringing in now, so I'm not sure what our access will be after the next 4 years to regional road group grants as well. So there's some changes on the horizon with the grants.
This is probably Councillor Caldwell.
Just another question, because I haven't got the budget to look through. That's because my email glitches, so no.
I can't quite hear you there, James.
I don't have the budget to look through at the moment, but the issue that was raised, you know, early in the budget process was this bridge issue, which is, as I understand it, being progressing well and going well, but those sort of issues are potentially a pretty scary hit to the Shire budgets, which is... So the question is, are we putting a bit more into bridge reserves this year as well? Because I can't remember that from the last workshop to alleviate, because that's a pretty big concern, which I think looks like we've gotten around it this time, but we've got a lot of other bridges where we might get a similar problem. So just, yeah, bridge reserves.
Thank you. So... yeah, we've been working hard on that one, and that's a longer term one as well. So in terms of the shorter term, we have had a win on Tregwell Bridge. So that holds that one at bay for now. Underspend or whatever on that sort of project, we will be putting into reserve for exactly that reason until... And hopefully what's gone through Regional Road Group will materialise and we will be able to hand some bridges back to Main Roads, but that's not a given at the moment. That's a
got to go through the State Advisory Council and the Minister, and so, yeah, we've just got to keep working on that. But there's a strong support from all the other member local governments in the South West region. In fact, the Shire of Manjimup has been putting it out in their social media, what we've done on that. So, yeah, hopefully that delivers. But as far as Trigwell Bridge goes, yeah, any money that we've saved there will go into that reserve.
And is that reserve, because the critical part of what I understand of that is, in order to get that money to pay for that major things, is that we do the maintenance. Yeah. So can that bridge reserve be used for maintenance? Because say if we had a maintenance, I think it's obviously really critical that we do the maintenance so that we get the big funding. But so, yeah, can that fund be also used for maintenance as well as major works?
Through the chair, yes. The purpose of that reserve is for maintenance and for major construction projects. It can be used for either or, but still, if I want to do it as maintenance, it's still got to come through council to release any funds out.
Charles, there is a definition of the reserve accounts underneath the reserves in the budget, so you can see what they are used for. Page 20.
I don't know if you can see that on the screen, Charles. That's the purpose of the reserves.
Your binoculars are better than mine, if you can. That's better.
Karen, what page would that be?
20.
For the amounts?
Yeah, 20. Just above the definition.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go, yes.
62, yes. Oh, no, 114, sorry.
That was the opening 25, balance.
25, 26. Yeah,
closing balance, 114. 778.
Yep.
Just one question. What is the commercial reserve? It's got like $421,000 in it. What's that? It is number D. Oh, no, sorry.
H.
H, that's the one, yes.
Yep, so that is to be used for development projects and events approved by council, I would think.
Council.
Yep, approved by council.
So that building reserve is to be used for the construction, renewal and major maintenance of council buildings.
So a good example of that would be if the doctor moves out the house in Rogers Avenue. Once we go through that house and we see if there's any major maintenance that needs to be done, then we'd be bringing that back to council to see if we can take the money out of the reserve for that sort of maintenance. But it wouldn't be your maintenance of a broken window or something like that. That will be kept in the budget itself. Yes. Yep, which hopefully won't be the case.
Yes, Charles.
If this money's going into that fund for that purpose, and these reserves, I think, are fairly important to maintain them. The interesting thing a few years ago when we spent a lot of money fixing up this town hall, it cost a fortune, like $1 million, dollars, because nothing had been maintained for about a long, 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 long time. So part of the challenge is, with the amount of even 48,000 isn't going to do much maintenance. I mean 38,000. And buildings like this that have had a lot of money spent on them are going to still need ongoing maintenance, and that fund is for all council buildings, I presume, and we've got a lot of them to maintain. So, we don't want to let a place like this fall down again either. So it's not just a rec centre sort of thing. So, for that purpose, I think it's probably prudent, though painful.
Thank you. Councillor Ingalls?
When the public look at the budget after it's been approved, do they actually get to see, say, if it's okay, so we do approve it to 7%, and they can see that, so will they be let known that it's going into a building reserve, or we're using it to create 3 new jobs down at the works depot that doesn't, that kind of thing, that just goes into wages, so they don't know, so they don't, can't go, well, okay, well, my extra 1% on top of what I already pay is going to go and help employ 3 more people? Is that,
well,
can
if
the
we
short,
put
can,
to that,
put in?
If we decided that's what we were going to do with it, yeah, we can say that, but we're saying we want to put it into the building maintenance reserve.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. So whatever we do with it, the public will can be let know what it's for, so then they go, oh, crikey. Ah, yeah, right. I know why you're doing it.
Yep, that's exactly.
Through the chair, just for Councillor Ingalls' benefit, it will be in the resolution, so that's how it will actually go onto the website as well. So the reason at the bottom there would be pretty clear on where the extra funds is going to, and the public will have access to that resolution.
And once the budget's approved, then, like you say, after that, you better calculate the percentage of rates that is going into reserves, like not just the 1%, but also when we advertise or the budget, it'll be made clear we are being prudent and putting 15% or 16% of rates into budget, into reserve funds to future proof.
Absolutely.
Is that because the big numbers just as important as the 1%?
Yes.
That side of it, so that'll be all in there.
For people through the chair, that will be going out along with the rates notices. And yet it will reflect 10% for reserves, 20% for roads, and that sort of stuff. And those are just arbitrary figures I've just pulled out.
Yeah. I do think that's important that it's publicly publicised for what we're doing, because I'm still sitting on the fence, but now I can see, if we can tell the public exactly what's going on.
Very important.
Through the chair, what we also want to do this year going forward is when we actually do our road projects, because Jason and his team's been doing a pretty good job with our road projects and letting the public know that we've resurfaced road A and resurfaced road B, we're now actually going to start putting in figures on that so that the community can actually see what it costs, because I think there's possibly a lot of the community doesn't realise how expensive resurfacing a gravel road is.
Yeah.
So when we put out there that we've finished project A, we want to make sure that we put out their project A, which cost us X amount of money, so that the community is aware of exactly how much it cost us, which would be across the board for all projects. Sorry, Chief.
Sorry. Yep.
Council does consider it. Thank you. The I was speaking to our financial consultant and looking at the reason there, that's quite specific. We probably need to add a little bit more depth to that, and I've just sent through an amended option for council to consider if they do consider this this amended version of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
This was the suggestion if council would like to consider the wording to add to the bottom of that agenda item.
Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn.
Can I just ask one more question? What page is it where it shows the budget surplus deficit number? That's usually like give or take 20 grand or something. What page?
So normally in the budget it should show zero.
Yeah. So which page is that on?
The bottom line.
Yeah, I'm playing through all them. I can't see one. Is that page 4?
It should be at the end. So the idea is we come up with a balanced budget.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah.
So, because we did that last year, but then we had a surplus again, didn't we? Because we had unspent funds, didn't we? But they roll over.
Yeah, and you have that where projects go over the end of financial year. And
like that, we haven't allocated the money out of building reserves that we planned to.
Through the chair, we also just need to bear in mind that we did get a prepayment on the federal assistance grants of just over $1 million. So.
Yeah.
The surplus would always be a surplus if we're getting those prepaid funds.
That's zero.
That's zero. And it shows the foot surplus coming across from the previous year.
Yep. So total income column and total expenses column.
Total expenses?
Yep.
Total income?
Yep.
That's your grants.
Yeah, I am, so that gets it.
That's right.
Is that it?
Together.
In your outplace, investment, that's how we're making up the money. So,
out of reserves for some of it, and then that comes through.
Yep.
And then that comes
through. I have a question. We're all worried, seems to be a bit of consensus on the funding coming out of the state.
That's awesome, thank you.
Government at times. So, does that make any difference compared to whether it's the Liberal government or the Labor government, the funding's still the same? They just drop things off and change the wording so they... So it seems to me that the local governments are getting a harder time to actually get money. The state government wants to put more pressure on by telling them they have to look after their own stuff without
support.
Mm. Without support or making it harder to jump through the boxes to get the money. Is that...
Yeah, through the chair.
Does that seem right?
Doesn't really matter which government's in place. It's up to them when they decide how they want to change things. I'll give the example of the LRCI grants that we had. They've now pulled it back. It's the same government that's in place. So they can decide when they want to put out grants and when they don't want to put out grants. It really depends on the day of the government. The federal assistance grants have been around forever and a day, though. They would be very brave to do anything with the federal assistance grants, because that would bankrupt probably 98% of all councils if they had to try and take any of that away.
Any other questions?
good.
Move out of committee. Move Councillor Caldwell, seconded Councillor Kaltenrider. All those in favour? Carried unanimous. So we have the alternative recommendation there. Do we have a mover for that? For the alternative recommendation? Do you want to read through it?
Move
Councillor O'Connell. I'm going to scroll down a little bit. Seconded through so everyone can read it. You can scroll a bit more. Next page. So the red is the changes. So we have moved Councillor O'Connell, seconded Councillor Kaltenrider. Councillor O'Connell, would you like to speak to the item?
I think that this is a wise move. Like you commented before, it's not about just keeping the rates at a low rate. We've got to look after not just the community, but the whole Shire itself, as in the administration, and make sure that we have sufficient funds to plan for the future, not just now.
Councillor Kaltenrider, would you like to speak to the item? Speakers for? Speakers against? The motion, all those in favour? Against? Carried 5-1. Thank you. Next, moving on. 6.1.2, valuations and differential general rates and minimum payments. So this is a general item referring to the rates in the dollar and the minimum rates. We have an officer recommender.
Can I ask you a question? At some point before
we'll just get a mover and seconder. So we have a recommendation there. Moved Councillor Kaltenrider, seconded Councillor Ingalls. Questions?
The question relating to this is with the differential rating that's been put past at a previous meeting, as I understand from the definition, that is for land that has, so it really doesn't matter the 10% or 1 hectare or any of that, if it's had a prior planning approval change to plantations, is that correct? So if you've got 20 hectares on your farm, but you haven't gone to the Shire and applied for planning approval change to your plantation, then you would be exempt. So if that's the case, state government's not going for planning approval. So would they would be exempt, and thank you, and also. The second part of the question is if a land use, a title of land, a rateable block of land has been in plantation and has had a planning approval happen, since then it's been reverted to, bought by a farmer or reverted by a tree company back to agricultural purposes, do they then need to, because farmers have bought plantations that are been changed on rates. It's been reverted to farmland, same as tree companies have reverted land back to agriculture use. Does that need another planning approval to bring it back and call it agricultural use again, or how is that going to be managed? Because, yeah, there's a few things there that, by my understanding of the definition, it's if it's had a planning approval change of land use to plantation. And then how does it go back? Sorry.
Through the chair, if I understood that correctly, if there's someone who's got a tree plantation and they don't have an approval for it, they wouldn't be exempt as such. They'd be unauthorised development, so they'd have to get an approval for it, and that would trigger them to actually get differential rating on them. The second question, if they revert from a tree plantation back to farming land, no, they wouldn't need a planning application for that, unless you're running cattle. Anything more than 5 cattle that you have to have? No, I can't do that. I was just winding up here. Sorry, councillors, I had to do that. No, if you're reverting it back to agricultural land, you wouldn't need to get a planning approval, but we would rely upon the owner of that property just to notify us, to tell us, look, we're bringing it back to farming land, and they wouldn't be subject to differential rating. If they, for some reason, had paid the differential rate and they can prove to us that they weren't operating this tree farm, we would refund them.
So in the case of land that's been reverted, well, I didn't vote on that motion. I left the room because I've got a share farm arrangement, and there's multiple share farm arrangements throughout Bybrook Shire with land that has come out of plantations as in that. So the definition of out of that is 10%, one hectare. In order to say, because if you buy a farm and it's in blue gums, you might harvest 3/4 of it, you might leave 30 hectares on a creek line or like for native, you know, for environmental purposes. What definition? I think some of that stuff just needs tidying up so that there's clear definitions of what would trigger an event of coming back for agricultural purposes, because the example of the ones that I'm share farming on my boundary, they have left little patches of trees for environmental purposes, they're not going to be harvested, but all those properties, to my view, they're no longer used for forestry, they're used for agriculture. So a lot of those properties that I believe are probably on the system as we're going to get increased rates from, we're not. It's only a percentage, probably 10% of the plantable plantations in Whitebrook that have come back to agricultural purposes. But there's land here that we're assuming we're going to get this, which we're not. If, depending if they qualify, that they're used for agricultural purposes now.
Yes.
So just on that, it's reverting back to agriculture. Trees left for environmental purposes are not a commercial plantation. So, it's just reverting back to agriculture, which is a notice to the Shire.
Through the chair, also,
the definition of that is important, because if it's 10 hectares or 10% or what?
If it's for environmental purposes. That's only if it's for a commercial plantation.
So if you've got a title and half the farm's still in plantation, then that whole title would stay. Things. And it depends on how it's rated too, if it's multiple properties all packaged together or individual things.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a difficult one, very complex, as you pointed out. It's not straightforward, and there are so many different agreements and management processes on land all around the Shire. It is not an easy one. I think the definition will cover it, though.
My concern is primarily if the definition is that it's had a planning approval and the state government buys land, doesn't get a planning approval, how are we going to, because how are they, how do they qualify for the differential rating if they haven't gone for planning approval?
So it'd be based on commercial plantation definition, you know, they're harvesting the trees as a commercial plantation. It's not environmental planting. They're required under our regulations to get a DA. The fact they're not doing it is them claiming a state exemption, but it still is required even though they're not getting it. So if they're required to provide a DA, might be the answer on that one.
Yeah, it is. It's probably a bit more complex than that. At this stage, we're referring to the FBC ones where they don't get the DAs. Yeah, I mean, we have had legal advice that said they do need to give us a DA. They're claiming exemption on that. It's something that we've been working on quite some time now already. I wouldn't say we're getting any traction anywhere. We don't have the ministers behind us on this one at all. But yeah, effectively, they are supposed to, in my opinion, get a, not even in my opinion, in our legal advice, yeah. Because it's, there's a, what's the policy I'm trying to refer to? It's different. Competitive neutrality policy that they need to comply with, yeah. And in the act that they're referring to that says they don't need to do a planning or a DA, it actually says they need to then comply with the
local government planning scheme.
No,
the competitive neutrality.
Competitive neutrality policy, yeah. Of the state,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've asked them a number of times already just to explain to us how they're actually saying they are still complying with that. And we get the same answer back from the ministers that the state has put out $350 million towards trees. They don't actually answer the question.
Yeah. My concern is just that it's still very messy with the definitions and how that's going to work through and be functional, the differential rating aspect of just that part of it, I think, is still messy. Because if the trigger's not a DA... And then we're using the definition of a plantation, which is 10% or 10 hectares, then anybody with 10 hectares is... So it's one or the other. It can't be both triggers used. Do you know what I mean?
So what we were just talking about is the trigger is that they are required to get a DA. It doesn't mean that they actually got one.
But how do we know? Like, how do you actually track that down? Like, and know it.
So land use, that applies across the board. People might just put trees in and say nothing. And then you've got to go out there and physically look.
Yeah,
it's a bit like fire breaks, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've got to physically back it up.
Yeah, without traditional staff in the sense of a permanent planning officer, which I can't justify the requirement for a permanent planning officer, we would never know unless the neighbours had to come to us and say, look, this guy's putting up a tree farm. I wasn't aware of it. Why didn't you let us know? Then we can go back and see where it is, why it's there, and if it's required for us to give him a notice. It's nothing different to somebody in town starting to do a workshop from his house. Doesn't put in a planning application, but his neighbours complain, and that's how we go out and follow that up again.
And it's maybe something that, I don't know, just thinking on the fly there, it might be something that we can... piggyback on firebreak inspections where, you know, during that process they might identify which properties are plantations. You know, firebreak inspections are an annual event. So there's ways and means of picking those things up, and we won't get 100%, but we can do everything we can to get the level of compliance as close as we can to 100. Yes, Carolyn.
Through the chair, I'll just make an additional comment to that. It is quite complex, as the CEO has alluded to. There's various levels that we have used to identify the plantations, but there were two other methodologies. One was through the Landgate aerial view, the cadastral data, so the rates officer viewed that. We also, the main one apart from the DAs, was we have been granted permission to access a map that identifies plantations within the shire, so that's quite up to date. So we've used that as an initial view and then overlaid that over the Shire boundary and the Landgate cadastral data as well.
Yes, Councillor King.
So I'd like to ask a question there. So the initial information we were given was that it was going to affect around 30 properties. Now that we've got some of that extra data, have we got an estimate of how many properties are going to be affected?
3rd of the Chair, not off the top of our heads. We can get that information to Council later on.
Best guess?
I'd probably say maybe 35%. It's not that much more. 35, 40% maybe, Carolyn? Okay.
Just press your...
We'd have to come back to you on that one, Councillor. Probably don't want to thumbsuck that one out. It's, we'll put that out to all councillors after this meeting, probably in the next day or two.
It's also going to be a fluid one. It's changing all the time, annually. Plantations come out, others go in, so it will be an ongoing issue.
Just even if it's 30, I thought there was only about 6 plantation companies. So is it 30 now, plantation companies operating in Blackbrook? Is that what you're saying now?
It was 30 land parcels, but it was less owners, if I can put it that way. They obviously own multiple properties.
Yeah, so it's 30
properties,
vacable properties, not 30 companies, because I didn't think there was that many.
No way.
Right.
Turned it off at 51 properties.
51. I was looking at some information. I'm not quite sure now where it came from, but it was indicating, I think it was just FPC have got 10% of our Shire rateable land. So it's a pretty significant holding. I'm not sure if I've got that right, whether it was plantations or just FPC, but no, there must be plantations. 10% of the Shire anyway is pretty significant. So number of properties is probably not a good indicator because of variation in size. You can be talking hundreds of hectares or thousands of hectares for individual properties. Councillor Inglis?
Do we have any data on, so now you're saying we've got 51 properties rated as a plantation currently in the Shire in 2025. Have we, anybody looked at what our plantations were back in 1990? Oh, sorry, that'd probably be a bit early because I just sort of started by then. So say 2000, because there was quite a few in there, considering what went on in 2000 to what we are now, would we have any data on, or could we get information on that to compare it to see if we're actually decreasing in size as a farming community or a rural community as to what it was in 2000 when a lot came through, just to get some sort of perspective on how we're gauging this or how we're trying to keep raising money to make the budget.
Through the Chair, can I take that one on notice?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions in relation to this item?
Yeah, sorry, one more. The actual figures there up there where it says the one adopted valuation supplied by the value in general. So that gross value and the UV rentals and the plantation rentals. So that's the whole valuation of basically the Shire of what the land's worth when they're segregated like that. Is that what those three figures are? The $677 million?
Yep.
So that's what our Shire is worth,
basically,
compared to the Governor General, right?
On
value of general, sorry.
On value of generals.
On value of generals.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Based on those numbers, that is actually about 10%, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It's close. Yeah.
For land value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's close. Councillor
No further questions? Carolyn, you'd like to say something?
Sorry, I just need to offer an amendment. We need to, given that the 7% has now been endorsed by council, we need to amend the rate in the dollar on item 2 and the minimum rating on item 3. Thank you.
Do you have the wording you want to put in there, Carolyn?
So...
Do you want to just come around and show me where you want me to put that in?
Well, we get it right the first time. So those numbers need to go into item 2 and those numbers need to go into item 3.
So is there?
There, yes.
Okay, I'm not sure how to paste in there now. And then you said the following afternoon as well?
No, it was just there, just underneath that. So,
oh, that one there?
Yeah, those ones there.
That one, was that one there?
Oh, this one's that one. Just under there.
Deal with that one now. Thank you.
Not much difference.
No.
So through the chair, we just need to vote on those amendments and then vote on the whole item as a separate one then.
Okay. Yep. So this is now an amended recommendation.
Correct.
So we will need a new mover and seconder?
Not necessarily. No, we just need a mover and a seconder for the amendment. And then we can revert back to... We've already moved the item.
Yeah.
And because it's been amended, we just need a mover and a seconder for each amendment that's been done. And then we can vote on the item as a whole again.
Oh, okay, we're not going to treat it as a whole amended?
No.
Recommendation. Okay. So how does that work? We've got...
And now if we can just get a move and a seconder for each one, and then we'll sort out how it works into the minutes.
Right. So we'll go back to the first one, which is up the top, isn't it? Oh, no, that's up
that
the top.
That's that one over there.
Yep. Gotcha, I see.
So,
can I just ask a quick question on this? Because I seconded that, but voted against the... Basically, the rate rise or the budget, should I be seconding it? Because I'm no, so it shouldn't be really, because it sort of contradicts.
It doesn't matter. You can move an item and then vote against it. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's fine. Yep. No, that's all good. Okay, so we're just looking for a mover and seconder for the amendment on item 2. Do we have a mover for that? Councillor O'Connell seconded. Councillor Caldwell. And are we voting individually then?
Yes, so we still need to vote individually.
Yeah. All right. Any questions on those? I think we've pretty much worked our way through that. All those in favour? Those against? Hang on. Which way were you voting, Philippe? I thought you voted for and then... Yeah, so carried 5-1. So now on item 3, we have an amendment there, moved, Councillor O'Connell, seconded, Councillor Kaltenrider. So these are figures that we're putting in to support the previous decision that we made. So we really don't look very clever if we don't support the figures that actually make what we've already, the decision we've already made, work. Just thought I'd mention, it's all connected, yes. So item 3, we have the amendment there, moved. Councillor O'Connell seconded. Councillor Kaltenrider. Any questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Against, carried 5-1. Now we have the item as a whole, is that right?
Correct.
Which has moved Councillor O'Connell.
Councillor Kaltenrider.
No. Oh.
And Councillor Ingalls.
Moved Councillor Kaltenrider, seconded Councillor Ingalls. Any questions? We'll put the motion, all those in favour. Against, carried 5-1. Item 6.1.3, imposition of fees and charges and rubbish removal charges for the 25-26 annual budget. We have an officer recommendation there, moved. Councillor Ingalls, seconded Councillor O'Connell. Any questions in relation to that item? Put the motion, all those in favour. Carried unanimous, thanks. Six point 1.4, payment of rates, options and interest charges for 25-26 annual budget. And we have the officer recommendation there referring to instalments and so forth. Do we have a mover for that item? Councillor Kaltenrider, seconded Councillor King. Any questions in relation to that item? All those in favour? Carried unanimous, thanks. 6.1.5, waste collection rate for the 25-26 annual budget. We have the officer recommendation moved. Councillor Caldwell seconded. Councillor Ingalls. Any questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Carried unanimous, thanks. No further business, the meeting closed 11:16.